and then video, but I'll be asking just a lot of the questions, so just be relaxed. And it's up to you whether you want to have your mask on or off while you're videotaping or not.
What do you suggest for her?
Whatever you're comfortable with. I mean, since this could be new.
I just got my test back Monday. I was negative.
Right. So, so I'm comfortable with it off.
If you...
Just from a video standpoint. Yeah, Because the virus will be gone.
I didn't get tested for this, but I got tested.
So this is going to be available, 25, 50 years from now. Right. So folks will know the virus existed, but...
Before I had my surgery, I had to be tested, so I did it. Is there anything I have to read?
No, nothing.
Okay, now I won't take these are distance glasses only. See, my eyes a little.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me introduce. This is Vernon Fleming doing the interview for the Freedom of Choice Remembrance Project. Mm-hmm. That's looking at the integration of Louisa County High School in 1965, and I'm interviewing Ms. Clina Taylor Avery.
Right. That's
and
correct.
And if you want to at least introduce yourself again.
Okay.
And where are you living?
I am Clina Taylor Avery. I live in Lago, Maryland. I've been retired since 2017, and I worked for almost 30 years as a moderator for focus groups and market research company. And in all those years, I have come back to Louisa because my mom... passed in this past August. So I haven't been one of those people that leave home and only come back every 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. I was home a lot, and I will continue to be,
Good. Sorry for the loss of your mother. Yeah, mm-hmm. Blessed to still have mine, but I know it is tough. So like going back to 1965, what influenced you to leave A.G. Richardson and attend Louisa County High School?
Thinking back, the thing that sticks out was, I remember the paper came through mail.
And what was the paper?
It was a form you had to fill out, check box or where you want to go. And I remember being on the phone with Joan and Beulah, and I don't know which one of us said it, but if you go, I'll go. If you go, I'll go.
Okay.
So that's what I remember from then. Now, and they both said they'll go, so I went.
So there were no adults influencing you?
I know my mom said, well, we hope that's a good decision, because how this county, I remember her saying that. She said, I hope that's a good decision you're making, because how this county is. Her words were, there are a lot of rubbish people that live here. Those were her exact words. There are a lot of rubbish people that live here. So.
Okay. But now, were you aware of any other organizations, the NAACP or PTA?
None.
None involved. So, do you feel... let me back up. So, that first day... and maybe the day before, mm-hmm. What were your feelings? What were you having?
I was sort of skeptical. I was a little apprehensive about catching the bus. More than going to school or going to the school was getting to the school. Because on that bus, I was the only black person. I didn't know of any... I know on that road, on my bus, I know I was like the only one that would be, word got around who was going to the white school and who wasn't. And I knew that I would be the only one on that bus. And that was sort of, because there was no one else like on 613 that was in my, that was in my class, whether I'd even gone to the A.G. Richardson.
So when you got on the bus, were there seats available for you to sit?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were seats available, and the bus driver was extremely nice. And, in fact, I've seen her years later, and, she remembered me, and we talked, And the bus driver was extremely nice. And I did, and I'm gonna be perfectly honest, I had no problem with the kids, with the
Did other children sit beside you on the bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I didn't have that. Now, because there were one girl that lived across the road from me, I think she was a grade under me. Because when I went, I was in the ninth grade. I think she was in the eighth. And then there was another girl that lived up the road from me. She was in my class. And the one that lived across the road from me, I've always known her because sometimes we'd meet at the mailbox and meet, you know, she'd be, you know, so I knew who she was. But the one up the road from me, I didn't communicate with her. She was not, she just was, she sort of like ignored me. Didn't speak anything, so.
Okay, so you got on the bus was peaceful, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
When you arrived at the school, what were your impressions?
When I arrived at the school, it was like, nothing happened like I thought it was going to be. And then,
what did you expect?
I was expecting, when I walked down the hall, I would be the only one on my side. Everybody would move over like I was poison or something. And that never happened. That's what I was expecting. I was expecting to be treated like, you know, I was dirty or you know, don't touch her, don't go near her, you know, in the world. But that never happened. A whole 4 years I was there, that never, I don't know what they was thinking on the inside, but I was never shunned in that way, like, okay, you're black, so if you're walking on that side of the hall, I'm getting away from you, I'm walking over here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what went on behind closed doors, but it was never outward.
Did you see or encounter friendly faces?
Oh, that, yeah, all the black, all, you know, I encountered some friendly faces.
Any friendly white faces?
Yes. Okay. I mean, they would say, I think maybe that first day it was like, they were like, I guess they was getting oriented to having black people in the school. But I'm going to say, by the second week, it was like, okay, she's like we are. I'm struggling in this one, I'm struggling that. This teacher is just as, you know, it was like, okay, she's just another student here. She's just a different color, you know. That was my experience.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the teachers didn't like, I don't so see where they, if she, they called on one person to do something, then they'd call on me. But I think they sort of knew, the teachers sort of knew that I got my work, you know. It was no shame, you know, of calling on me thinking, okay, I'm calling on her because I know she's not going to answer. She don't know, you know. So, yeah. But I didn't know. And then after the second week, it just became second nature, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you may have already answered this, but did you encounter anyone who was a racist that may have said or done something that you observed?
If they were, I'm gonna be. It wasn't outward. They didn't show it. I mean, you know, they never used the N word towards me. If they did anything, they just ignored me. But there was never anything outward said to me. I do remember one teacher. I was in. It was ninth grade. She was the biology teacher, and I had made the honor roll. One of those, you know, whatever the port card came. Mm-hmm. And I remember she asked me to stay after class, and I'm thinking, okay, did I do the frog wrong or what? But what it was, she told me she wanted to congratulate me because I had made the honor roll, but she didn't want to do it in front of all the class because she says, I remember her words, she didn't know about these students or something. But what she wanted to say, she wanted to congratulate me for doing the honor roll, but she didn't want to say it in front of the class.
Was that Mrs. Flynn?
I don't know. She was a young, she was very young, young. I think this was her first, I don't remember her name, but she was a blonde young. I think maybe she was fresh out of college.
Had red hair. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, she was fresh out of college. Okay. I know she taught biology. She's a biology teacher.
So going back to making the honor roll.
Mm-hmm.
So did you feel you were able to compete?
Well, yeah.
Intellectually, mm-hmm. with all mm-hmm. the students who were there.
Mm-hmm. And especially in, whose class was that? Miss Southall's class.
Mm-hmm.
I think she taught English. I don't know. Yeah, she taught English. And I have been reading since I could pick up a book. So a lot of, I remember one of the things to read, the books was Great Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read that, I don't know how many times before I got to the ninth grade. So when we had to read the book and do a paper on it, I remember her using my paper as an example. She said, this is someone, she didn't call my name, but I knew my paper. She said, this is someone who read the paper from chapter one through the last chapter. She just didn't skip chapters. It's some chapters and read. But they didn't try to hold me back or anything.
Okay. So did you have any teachers that you felt not have treated you fairly?
Yes, I remember him. He was the chemistry teacher, Mr. Gunnaris.
Okay, what happened there?
I just felt he called on me. I didn't like the class. I didn't like chemistry, and I didn't. Now that one, and I really struggled to stay ahead in that. But I just felt that sometimes he would call on me to do something. Or something, because he knew I probably didn't know the answer. Like if he called and asked a question and I answered wrong, he would follow up with another question. You know, it's like, okay, when are you going to get something right? I did feel that way in that class with him, Mr. Gunnaris. He taught, I think it was chemistry. I know it was in the lab, you know.
Now, in that class and other classes, did you feel that you had any teachers or student peers you could go to for help with class?
Yeah, the girl that sat beside me, I don't remember her name, but she was good. And okay. I used to ask her a couple of times if she would help me with the chemistry. I can't think of her name.
Okay.
I don't think she was from this area. I think she was new to the county. But anyway, because I don't remember her at Richardson or at any of the elementary schools. I don't know.
Oh, she was black?
She was black.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was in...
That had it been later because...
It was... I don't think I did the chemistry in the ninth grade.
Right.
But that was later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about the administrators? Mr. Martin was a principal and those counselors. Did you have much interaction with them, and did they offer support?
No, because I didn't get in trouble, so mm-hmm. I didn't have no need to be, you know, with the principal or that. I really had no interaction with them, except I think maybe in my senior year, you know, dealing with the college and stuff. But I never had any interaction with the administration, you know.
Okay.
I didn't interact. I knew who they were, but that was the extent of it,
okay.
You know.
Now, again, going back to your ninth grade year, were there any clubs or student activities that you may have had an interest in? And
I don't think in the ninth grade. Maybe in the tenth. But in the ninth grade, I think it was just getting adjusted to the school and just, you know, in the ninth grade, I don't remember joining or in any clubs or anything, you know.
So did you have an interest, or you just felt you would not be welcomed to be a part of those clubs?
I'm sure at the time, I don't think I would have been welcome.
Okay.
You know, but then, because like I said, it was so few of us, I don't recall if Beulah played sports, Beulah played basketball in the ninth grade, I don't know. I don't think there was any club activities going, you know, that, you know, and I know a big thing when I went then was when I left was the people that worked on the yearbook staff, you know, that was a big deal then to be on the yearbook staff. And but I really didn't have any interest because my thing was, you know, I just was there to just to get the lessons and get home.
During study hall and cafeteria, mm-hmm. What memories do you have that? Were you able to socialize at all during those times?
Let me think. Study hall. I think it was study hall. I think it was did in the...
the auditorium.
Yeah, the auditorium. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall anything that sticks out, you know.
And what about lunch? Were you able to get with any Joan or...
Yeah, we could eat lunch. Yeah, we could eat lunch together.
Okay. Did you share classes with
Joan
or Beulah?
I don't know about... I don't think we shared at P.E., mm-hmm. I shared it with Joan and Beulah because I remember later on, maybe in the 10th grade, some more people came because mm-hmm. I remember Cynthia Anderson and I think it was Beulah. We were in English class, you know, one of those classes. But 9th grade, I know I was in that homeroom. I was the only Black that I got. And I remember, I don't know if Russell King come?
He came the second year.
Okay, because he was in my homeroom 1 year. But that first year, I don't think I remember the first year, it was just me and I don't remember the lady's name, but I remember her. I don't know if you recall, back in the 60s, a family was killed.
Yeah, the Jackson family.
The Jackson family. Yes. Well, my homeroom teacher was the lady's aunt. And she would tell us the story of how she went to California to the guy's trial, and she said you could look at him and see he was not together. I remember that, and she was very nice. I can't remember her name, but she was very nice, and that she was a homeroom teacher in the 9th grade.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, as you kind of look at that time frame, did you ever have any thoughts of wanting to leave or not stay at Louisa County High School?
Yeah, because I had left a lot of friends that I'd gone to school with from first grade up. You know, I'd sort of left them behind, and I just felt as if they were having more fun than me. You know, I mean, like I said, no, I only saw, you know, living in the country, I only saw Beulah and Joan at class, and that was it. I mean, then when I went home, and then on Sundays, nobody went to church. I mean, well, I went to church, but they went to a different church. So I just felt, I don't know, I just, and even when I went to the white school, a lot of the people that I had been to class with from the first through the eighth, the phone call stopped, you know. You know, I didn't talk with those same people anymore. The phone call stopped, so it's sort of like isolation from, you know, the people I'd grown up with and had been through the first grade through the eighth.
So, of those classmates that you encountered after you went to Louisa, how did they react to you going to a white school?
Not good.
Okay.
It was between she thinks she's better than we are, or she thinks she's better than we are, or she's a traitor. You know, it went from one to the other. You know, she went to the white school. She's blah blah blah. You know. She didn't want to be with us, so. And those were the ones that call. Because I can remember talking to those, you know, we was in the same grade. I found that a lot of those friendships sort of fell away.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you recall any adults at your church or relatives asking you about your experience that first year?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just about everyone... just about every adult I knew would ask me how was it, and you know, how was I treated, and I'm gonna have to be honest. I was not treated bad. It was enough to the point where I would say, "Oh, why did I do this?" It was never like that. Like I said, if they had those negative feelings about me, the class, it wasn't exhibited in any kind of way. I mean, I didn't find stuff wrote on my locker or anything like that. Or in gym, I just never had any problems. But there was a coldness that I knew I was not one of them. But as far as any, you know, exhibiting anything outward that I could name, no. I mean, nothing I'd had to go to the administration about, mm-hmm. you know. They kept it well hidden.
Okay.
You know.
From an economic standpoint, do you mm-hmm. feel that, again, not sure how your parents
mm-hmm.
Were well off, do you feel that you were on equal footing with the average white student from a, you know, from a clothes appearance, being able to...
As my mother would say, I can't afford to dress you like them white girls.
Okay.
I mean, like back then, the thing was the Ouija loafers. Mm-hmm. They were not cheap. I mean, they were not cheap for, you know, the Ouija loafers and the Villinger skirts and sweaters. I mean, I do remember those two name brand clothes, the Villinger and the, and then later on, maybe in my 10th, 11th grade, it was the Agna purses, you know, but, other than that, because my mom made a lot of my clothes. She sewed really good. She right. made a lot, and I made a lot. The little Jefferson shop that used to be in Louisa, they had nice fabric and patterns, and my mom sews out of sewing machine, so I made a lot of my dresses, you know.
So, good.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the girls did. You could tell those A-line dresses that was in two seams down the front and one down the back. I mean, we made those.
Okay. So. Yeah, that kind of goes with the question around being on equal footing intellectually,
yeah.
but also economically, and whatnot. There was mm-hmm. disadvantage.
But so, it wasn't anything that was, I didn't find anything too costly. I mean, like I said, clothes, I find that emphasis wasn't on much on clothes back then as it was now. I mean, that was, if I had a deal now, then back, like, my mother was not going to pay no $100 for a pair of shoes. I don't care how much money she had. So.
Yeah. As far as social activities, did you attend any after school events, games?
Oh, yeah, I went to some of the football games.
Okay.
But other than that, no. I went to some of the football games.
Did you go with in a particular?
No, I think we just, everybody said who's going to the game. But it wasn't a lot of many times I went. Mm-hmm. For one thing, I didn't understand then, and I don't understand now, football. I've okay. never had an interest in football.
Okay.
You know, as my son tells me, you the only, when March Madness, I understand basketball, and I know what's going on, but I'm not crazy about it either. He would tell me that I was the only person in Maryland who didn't know what March Madness was. I said, okay, but I, okay. you know.
So did you feel comfortable when the few times you did go to
Yeah,
a game?
I felt comfortable. Okay. Mm-hmm. I felt comfortable.
Now, probably ninth grade was probably, I know most families didn't allow kids to go out too much, but did you have any interest or desires to go to some of the Friday night dances that was
no.
advertised? Okay.
Mm-mm. No, not none.
Okay. Why?
Well, if I win, who was I going to dance with? I mean, from a female point of view, you know, we didn't have, I mean, I don't know how the guys got along. You know, I think they had more trouble than we did. I'm not trouble, but I think they were more on the, you know, they were more subject to ridicule or something than we were, just being guys. That's what. So I'm thinking, and I know they wouldn't patronize. They weren't going to patronize those dances. So if I went, I mean, who were we going to dance with? You know, so that just never had any interest. I went to the prom. I did go to the prom.
That was your junior year?
I went to junior and senior prom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thinking back to.
But then it was more people that it came over.
Right.
You know.
Do you think you would have been welcomed at some of the dances? Like they had danced at the fire hall in the Louisa Mineral Fire Hall?
No.
Okay.
Once again, I don't think I would have been welcome, and I think had I gone, I would have been miserable. So I saved myself.
Okay. Do we talk about school clubs at all?
Yeah, you asked me. But towards the end, I joined some because it was more people.
Right.
You know, I think
more blacks had come
more
in.
Blacks. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to join some of those clubs
No.
early on? Okay.
I just knew if I joined it, I didn't want to join it just to say, okay, I belong to it. I wanted to participate and contribute, and I knew they were not there yet to be accepting. You know, I mean, no matter what kind of help I could have contributed, I knew it wouldn't have been, you know, so I wasn't going to put myself into it, you know. And, no.
Now, had you stayed at Richardson, do you think you would have, like, ran for a class office, you know, president?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would have, you know, and
but
I would have.
At Louisa, did you consider?
No.
You
know? None. Like I said, I knew. I mean, like I said, nothing was outward said, and I wasn't, but I knew my limitations as far as being accepted. I knew that. Even though they didn't say anything, and if I had wanted to join something, I probably would have. But I wasn't going to put myself through it just to make a point. You know, I was happy to stay away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As far as doing it again,
mm-hmm.
looking back, would you still... Going
yeah.
to Louisa, you did?
I would. Like I said, I didn't have no experience that would have said, that I've said, why did I do this?
Okay. Do you think you got benefits from going that you would not have gotten had you stayed at Richardson? Any advantages that you have as looking back over your life?
I'm going to say, in the eighth grade, I was one of the, you know, I was used to being the only one in these, because I was in the academic classes.
Eighth grade in Richardson?
No, not eighth grade. I'm sure in the ninth grade.
Uh-huh.
Before the other people came over, I was just one. I was the only one in French. I was the only one in, the only one in that bar, in that algebra class. You know, when I got out in life, I was used to, you know, being, call it what you want, they would say the token, you know. I don't, call me what you want. I had a job. I was making a living. I'd be a token 10 times over, you know, but I was making a living, and so that sort of prepared me, you know. I would do it again.
Okay.
I had no really, really bad experience that would turn me against. But when I went to school, when I went to college, I talked to people that were from the South. And some of the stories told me is what I'd read about. You know, this one gentleman was telling me how his father helped get somebody picked up somebody for something, and how his father was one of the people that helped smuggle him. Kept get him out of the town and passed him. You know, he was telling me, but he was from the, I don't know where he was from the Deep South, and, you know, and I'm saying, and that's stuff I read about. And he literally did not like white people. Though, like me, he had to work for them. He worked for them,
mm-hmm.
but he literally did not like them. And I told him, I never had that sort of experience, but he had, you know, he said, he was, him and his brother was picked up early in the morning to go to the cotton field, dropped back off in the evening. You know, I mean, he lived it, so I told him, you know, but he had a different view from me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I never had that type of negative, I knew it existed, but I didn't have that type of negative experience.
Now, you attended the HBCU, Virginia State College then, university now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
that was great?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, did you ever consider attending a predominantly white college after high school?
No, I don't know why. Well, I went following the crowd, the other girls, the white girls in their senior, they went to Mary Baldwin and Longwood and Mary Washington and, you know, when you go for orange, to visit the camp. I never went to any of those.
Why not?
I'd had enough of all white. I wanted to go back. So, and then also was an economic thing. I went to state. You know, mm-hmm. The tuition was not black. I could have went to, I got accepted to two or three places, but Hampton was, that was sky high because it was private then, I don't know. And then, of course, there was University of Virginia, and I wanted to get away from home. I remember I wanted to get away. I didn't want to go 15 miles up the road. And then there was Virginia State, and some people I knew had gone to state, you know, so I says, okay, I picked, and I'm glad I did. That was nice. Okay. It was like going back to my roots, going back to, you know, all black. You know, that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any contact with any white classmates that you had back in your 9th, 10th grade year?
None.
None at all.
I see them occasionally. And they don't know, they didn't know then me, Beulah Jones. They knew three names, but they couldn't put the name to the face. Because when you see them, they're, are you Joan or Beulah or Klein? You know, they it's like, that was a whole, they couldn't put the name, they knew it was three black girls, but they couldn't put the name to the person, you know. Like, they had a reunion, a couple of years ago. Joan said she went. And I would have gone, but had I known she was going. But it was somewhere down in Monroe, I don't know, somewhere. But I didn't know the place, so. But she told me, I think she said she was the only one there, maybe one more person.
My brother Ralph was there.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. But,
Good. Trying to think, is there anything else I wanted to cover, but I want to open it up. Anything that you want to share that we haven't talked about that experience, especially
mm-hmm. 1965, 66? Yeah, I do recall, was it 65 or 66 when Martin Luther King?
He was killed in
68. I do remember that day. I do remember that day because, what happened? I don't know how I got there, but I went up to the courthouse. They had a thing there in the courthouse for him. And my, I don't know his name, he was a tall guy. He taught history. Anyway, I missed his class. And I know he didn't, he's told me he wouldn't consider me absent because he knew that's where I had gone. They had stuff similar at the courthouse. Did you go to that? Were you there?
No.
Yeah, they had a similar up at the courthouse. You know, so.
Okay.
I remember that.
Now, I haven't asked this of anyone else. Mm-hmm. If you could ask a white classmate a question
mm-hmm.
from 1965, what would you ask them?
I would ask them, what were their true feelings knowing that black students would be attending the school? That's what I'd like to know. What were their, we know what our feelings were, but what was theirs? True feelings, you know, not like they are here and we just have to go along with it. And, but you know, there were during that time, a lot of the parents sent the children to,
Rock Hill Academy.
Yeah, up in Charlottesville.
Uh-huh. Yes.
In fact, my neighbor was one of those girls that went there. She, the first year, she went there. She went to, She caught the bus with me. I mean, she right up the road, right across the road almost. But that from the 10th grade on, she went to Charlottesville.
Yeah, we tried to interview some of those students that left to go there.
Then her name was Claudia Sauer.
I know, she was in my class.
Was she? Yeah, yeah, she went to the, you know, so. Okay. No, that's one thing I'd like. But like I said, it's not one of those dreadful experiences, you know, mm-hmm. where, you know, something that haunts you, you know. Like I said, being that I was the only one, in a lot of those classes, it just prepared me for things, you know, like my job I retired from. When I left there for the past 3 years, because I was there almost 30 years, for the past 2 or 3 years, I was the only black. I was the only black. And then the very last year, I was definitely the only black. And when the company closed down, she asked me, she paid me under the table, because once you close a company down, there's still stuff that's got to be done. Mm-hmm. If I would work with her doing that, the owner. But like I said, I think that sort of prepared me for what the world is like out here for real. You know, I don't have any regrets. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The only thing I just wish I had gotten more involved in this. But I wasn't outward enough, you know, and to say the heck and with it. You know, I would like to have been on the yearbook staff, because I'd love to. I would have liked to have belonged to, I think it was a foreign language class. You know, I would love to have done that, but I didn't, because I know I would not have been welcome. And I wasn't going to stress myself out about it, just to say you belong to something, you know. And besides, even though your name can be on the book as being a member, that don't mean you're inclusive.
Right.
You know, your name can be on the book as being a member. It doesn't mean you're inclusive. So I'd rather I didn't bother. But then I ended up going to a majority. After I left state, I ended up going to a majority white grad school. But
where was that?
The University of Michigan, Ann Arbor.
Okay.
But nobody, they gave me buku bucks. That's why I went there. I mean, you know, I would hit a full ride. That's why I went there. And you can, I'm telling you, that was going from, I think at the time I left state, it was 3,500 students, to a huge place like that, 45,000. And I mean, and they were from all across the world. You know what I'm saying? Africa, Germany, French, you know, they were from everywhere. And I'm thinking, how am I going to survive up here? But I did.
Great.
You know?
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Clara, thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
yeah.
I'm really glad you agreed to participate.
I'm glad you all are doing this.
Well, we're excited about it, and we will plan to interview a number of white students also to ask that question he just asked.
Wow.
And also trying to see if there are any living teachers that we can.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Mr. Ganeri still around? Because I know he married a local girl.
Okay. I haven't tried to reach him. I tried to look at the yearbook, which is right here, around those teachers that would look like first, second year. Pamela Johnson was in her first, second year. Ms. Starkey was a first and second year teacher. So I tried to.
What did she teach Ms. Starkey? Name sounds familiar.
Joe Morris said he remembered her teaching one of his classes. Pamela Johnson taught 8th grade English.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put that in here. But you can close if you want.
I think on your interview sheet, I think you said that.
Mm-hmm.